Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for the wonderful privilege of sitting under your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. We invite you, wonderful Lord, to make Jesus Lord, to make him magnified among us. We thank you for all the things that Jesus has done for us and who we are in Christ, what we have, what we can do. We thank you for the many blessings of being in your family and how you've given us peace beyond understanding and how you supply every one of our needs and that you care for us every single day. We ask your blessing upon this time as we hear your word. Help us to have eyes to see, ears that we can hear, and hearts that is open, receptive to your word. And help us and remind us to be doers of the word, users of the word, exercisers, people of action of the word of God, and not just hear the word and say, oh, that's nice, put it away. But let us practice what we know to be true and act on the word. We thank you for the healing that's taking place this morning. We thank you that each life, Father God, that's here right now, that healing is in their houses, in their hearts, in every aspect of their life, that let them be successful, victorious, that nothing that is against them will prosper. We thank you for this, and we thank you for this time right now. And let us preach, Lord God, that people's hearts shall be revealed and that they'll know that God has been speaking to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're talking about the seven basic principles for spiritual growth. And I don't know if I sent you that, guys. I'll resend that to you right now. an important thing in our lives in this day and age for every one of us here. And so we're going to look at these things, the seven basic principles of spiritual growth, and I'll try to highlight them and then we'll teach on them. Let's go to our 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. And we're going to talk about the seven basic principles for spiritual growth. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. This is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As an introduction, let me just say this again to reintroduce what we've said in time past. Many Christians or believers fail to grow up spiritually to their full potential in experiencing their salvation to the fullest. Instead, some still struggle with carnal behavior, recklessly living in this world, living like they're not even born again. As they say, worldliness. They never fully resemble who they really are in Christ. In order to develop our spiritual walk, we need to learn what are the basic principles for spiritual growth. Let's look at seven foundations in these areas that we all need so that we might develop and grow strong as believers, and God wants all of us to grow. Let me just give you these seven things before before we go on, because sometimes these things. First of all, number one, this is a basic principle you must do if you're going to grow up. Number one is to learn to forget the past. You're going to have to learn to leave things behind and move forward. If you're always looking at the past and blaming things that happened there, you know, we need to say, yes, this is the truth. That happened, but I must go on. So we need to do that. So the scriptures tell us here that Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, New Living says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I'm paraphrasing this, the whole verse of scripture, but you can look at the whole scripture in New Living. So we all have a past to deal with. And then we're going to look at another principle, number two, and that is we all must learn to forgive. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, New Living, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You must forgive, you must give people what God has freely given you. You must send that out to someone else. You didn't deserve to be forgiven. God says He found you when you were sinning. And He sent Jesus to help you. So number two, learn to forgive no matter what happened to you. People must maybe have done terrible things. You know, I learned this from a person who was held in captivity in Germany or in Poland, I believe it was. She said that I had to learn to forgive my captors, the atrocities they did to their people. So, can you be tenderhearted to a mean person? If God says you can do it, you can do it. I didn't say, do you feel like doing it? That's not what I'd ask you. I said, can you do it? If God told you to do something, you can do it. No matter what you think or how you feel, you can do it. God is not unjust. Now, the third principle, anybody want to take a guess? And me and John came out of the convention center last night over there, and these ladies were out there smoking. And the lady said, "Hey, Roma," and I just stopped and talked to these people. He said, "I've been watching you, your television program every now and then. I wish you could watch me all the time, and you could learn something." She said, "I learn whenever I watch, and I learn something, and I got this one thing that I learned, and I don't think this. I think this person could be a religious or a religious somewhere, and maybe a Christian. I'm not sure." He said, "I like this one principle that you talked about in your program." And she kind of acted me out and showed me what I said. She said, "You said to someone asked you, hey, can you pray for me?" And so she said, "You told those people, pray for yourself." She said, I like that. I like that. You know, people are always asking, pray for me, pray for me. They should learn how to pray for themselves, right, Roma? I said, "You're right. They need to learn to pray for themselves." So the third principle is everybody needs to learn how to pray. And Brother Hagin taught us that. He said everybody should learn how to pray. So I learned about prayer principles and sat under Brother Hagin. He taught us how to pray, and he showed us in different meetings regularly, this is how you do it. This is how you pray in the Spirit. This is how you prophesy over yourself and over different things. So we must learn how to pray as a believer. Here's a good scripture. He says, let's go here. Mark says here, Mark Matthew chapter 6:6, and I'll go to another one later on. He says, when you pray, everybody say, when I pray. So Jesus is assuming that you're going to do this. He says, when you pray, he didn't say, when the person you ask prays. Huh? When the prayer group prays for you. No, he says, when you pray. It means that you have a special prayer time with God, a meeting time with God every day. When you pray, he says, he's saying that you have a prayer life. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, get a life. That's get a prayer life, right? So we need a prayer life. If you have a good prayer life, it's hard to go off stream, because God will talk to you in your prayer. You'll be healthy spiritually. He says, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. So you need to be alone with God regularly. not just Sunday morning before service. Oh, I'm going to get ready here for church service. Honey, let me pray for a while, for 3 minutes. No, we all need a prayer life. So here, that's what it says here. So we're not going to teach too much on that right now, but we'll come back to it. And so in the prayer, in praying, there is a process of prayer. And so I itemize in this process of prayer a number of things that we do. And here's the process of prayer. How many people want this process of prayer? Should I give it to you? Should I give it to you? Should I give it to you? So they said, take it easy, Roma. What did you eat this weekend? Yeah. Amen. Meat, it must have been those meatballs. Might have been the whiskey. Could have been the gin. Remember that old song, the Irish Rovers? Huh? He was sick. He's got a big old ball in his stomach. That's one of my favorite songs. I used to like it. I didn't know what it was all about, but it sounded good. You know, we used to like songs. I was so innocent all my life until I met Pastor Ken and my wife. They always tell me, you know what that song means? I said, don't spoil it for me. I like that song. Anyway, some songs I like the song, but I didn't know the words, so you could have been jibber jibber jabber. I just like the way it sounds, but I gotta watch the words. So anyway, they tell me that if I listen subconscious or unconsciously, it can affect me sooner or later. That's why sometimes I'll be mean. I didn't even know it. I thought it was so lovely and nice all the time. Even my dogs, once in a while. I love my dogs, but I got to get rid of them. They're taking over. My dog, or our dog, Sully, he thinks, or Solo, excuse me, the brown one, Solo thinks he's married to my wife. If I come near my wife, he growls. I said, listen, I bought you. I can take you back. I told my wife, I want to take this dog back to St. Cloud, Minnesota. He said, no, you're not. Let's put him up for adoption. Do a trial. I'm calling the Lico Children's Dog Services. Anyway, that's a free story. Okay, the process of prayers. Number one. When you have a need in your life, find a scripture that covers your case. If you can't find scripture for what you're praying for, you have no basis of faith and you will not have your prayers answered. So problem, scripture, and pray. Okay? So if you got a problem, if you ask me, Pastor, agree with me, I'll say, what scripture are you standing on? So if you ask me, Pastor, pray for me, I'm going to say, okay, I'll pray with you and pray for you, but tell me what scripture you're standing on so that I can believe with you. It's like an extreme case. A man came to Brother Hagin and another minister and said, please pray for me. What? He said, I want this woman in church. But the guys were aghast. Brother Hagin and the pastor looked at each other. He said, why? He's our deacon. She's married to him. Absurdity. So there's a lot of people like that asking God, asking for prayer, but your prayer is absurd. It doesn't appear in the Bible. You're praying out of the will of God. Now, I like Pastor Ken's white van. So I can't say, God, I want Pastor Ken's white van. I pray that he gives it to me. No, it'll have to be working of miracles for that to happen, right? Anyway, that's the way it is. You got to pray for your own van. One like it. Number two. Are you ready for number two?
Yeah.
Let's have the drum roll. Okay, drum roll. He's not there. Okay. Meditate on those Bible promises. Meditate on them. But you know what meditate means? It doesn't mean like this. No, meditate is this. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you that you supply all my needs. Your word says you supply all my needs. And the devil's a liar. He's a liar. God supplies all my needs. And he's doing it right now. I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your word. Your word says you supply every one of my needs. I want to thank you. I praise you for it. Oh, Lord, thank you. And you talk to yourself like that. The word meditate means to mutter to yourself, to talk to yourself. Meditate means to talk to yourself about what you just prayed about. Lord, I want to thank you. You answered my prayer. I want to thank you. You hear me when I pray. And you keep talking to God like that. You meditate. People are doing it all the time, but they don't call it meditation. They're just thinking something. And they repeat things negatively. So do this purposely. Number three, after you pick a scripture and if you meditated on it long enough, and then ask God for that based on the will of God. Say, Lord, thank you for your word. It says you supply all of my needs. You said it. So I'm asking. You said to pray. You said to ask. So I'm doing it right now. So thank you, Lord. I'm asking you. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, he doesn't have to hear you if you pray outside of his will. Ask yourself, is what I'm asking God, is that in the Bible? Show yourself where it is in the Bible. Then you have a foundation to stand. If you don't have a foundation to stand, you could fall over. One of our committee members yesterday, we were doing the dignitary, giving blankets, and you know, we have a ceremony for our dignitaries, for the chief and different ones that came, the city representative, mayor's office. And so this is how it is. Like, the platform is like this, and she's putting on the blankets like this. And over here is it's like the stage is like 3 feet from the, and behind here. And so she steps over and fell right down. It happened so fast, and she's 68 years old. Not that age has anything to do with it, but she fell over. But everybody was aghasted. But we made it, we kind of joked about it. But if you don't have a foundation, that's what's going to happen to you. You'll fall. If she stood on the foundation of the stage, she would have been okay and be aware of it. But if you're not aware of something, that what you're praying about is solely a fantasy. It's a tradition. Pray based on Scripture. Right? Yeah. Are you getting something out of this? Or am I just talking to somebody over here, one person? Number four, receive by faith what you ask for in prayer. Mark 11:24, the New Living Translation says, I tell you that you can pray for anything. Say, I can pray for anything. That's not just anything you want, but anything in the Bible, anything in the will. So that you can pray for anything. So you have to interpret the Bible from Bible scripture so they match up together. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, how do you know you're believing? Well, we can talk about that in another time, but one thing about it, if you believe something, you start acting like it. Right? Somebody said, you know, my dad never told me they loved me, but I knew my dad loved me. Why? Because he acted like it. My dad never said he loved me. He said, son, I've never said I love you. No, he didn't say that. My dad never said, oh, I love you, son. Oh, give me a hug. Oh, I love you. I love you. How many had dad did that to you? In the old days, especially in the older days, the dads never did that because, you know, dads, you're not supposed to show emotion. Little boys don't cry, and they sure don't show their feelings. And that's what we're socialized that way. But it's not because we're native. It's because everybody did it. Okay? So when I became a dad, I did it to my daughters, right, Tashi? And hugged her and tell her I love her. Oh, I love you. And I did it for a long time. I used to throw up in the air, but I can't now. Anyway, she's a beautiful girl. We love her. So we receive by faith. Act like it. I don't just act like, I just tell my kids, I love you. I love my wife. I love her very much. You love your wife?
Yes, I do.
Well, why is she sitting back there? I got you. I'm just kidding. You know, we always kid together. Bring her back here. Just because you're driving her vehicle all the time. Did you bring the motorcycle today? Yeah. Can I get a ride? Okay. So believe that you receive. Everybody say, I believe.
I receive.
I receive. That doesn't mean when you believe you receive, you don't look to the natural to verify what you prayed for. You don't look for, oh, I feel better now. Or I feel the power. Whether you feel the power of God or not, God answers your prayer. Whether you got up this morning, you're so irritated, mad, God still loves you. And I don't care what anybody says, God still loves you. I said, God still loves you.
Yes.
Amen, Paul. God loves you. Yeah. Amen. He loves me. And I know, I say, I don't feel like God's working. I don't think He heard my prayer. And I said, no. Listen, mine, I'm going to tell you something. Come on here. I tell myself that, right? Listen, God's word is working. I tell myself, I talk to myself. It's working, whether no matter how what you feel like or not, no matter what you see, God's word is He's working right now. In fact, what you prayed for and those people you prayed for, that same God is right there with them where you are right now. God's everywhere. And how many people know there's miracle power in here right now? The power of God to change your life is here right now. Same power. He said, well, let's see it then. Well, He's here. So faith makes it work. So anyway, here's something pretty good. Number five. So when you believe, the moment you believe, you can start acting like it. So here's number five. Stand until the manifestation comes in. Stand until, you say, well, how long do I stand, Lord? I was asking God for some things I've been praying about. Especially when you pray for people. God waits for people. God is generously kind to people. Now we pray for somebody. Lord, I prayed for them last week. They should be out of their detox right now. They ought to be, together. I know they split up, but they should be together. Right? We pray for people. We think they should change right away. Right? Does it happen to you when somebody prays for you, you change it automatically? No, you took your married time. And God waited for you. And your husband waited for you. And everybody was wondering when you're going to change. Right? God's wonderful, isn't He? He's so kind. He's generous. So, it says here, stand until the manifestation comes. That doesn't mean you kind of stand around going, I'm standing around here. What are you standing there? I'm waiting for God to manifest. No, you said you believe, act like it's so. Go to church, put a smile on your face. Things are not be happening in certain areas of your life, but start acting like the Word of God is true. Get up, the devil says that it's not working. You get up in the morning, it's not working. No, it's working. It's working. Everybody say, it's working. Come on, say, it's working. So you have to tell yourself that. Be your best cheerleader. Because the word, we're acting on the word. Now, you stand until the manifestation. In other words, you act like it. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep going. You know, you're going to stand. You tell the devil, I'm standing. And we were joking yesterday. You know, we talked about, you know, I was, my mother was, you know, she came out of the McIntosh. She stayed all her life in the school, in the convent, in residential school. All her life, until she was a preteen, and then she got married. I was asking the people yesterday at the reunion, the St. Joseph's reunion. I said, how many of you guys? I thought I was going to get a good reception. How many of you guys did your parents were arranged marriage? Nobody put their hand up, just me. I'm the one asking questions. Because I said, I can't be that old. Yeah. My mom and dad were arranged marriage. And I don't know why I'm telling you the story. It's about standing. It had to do with standing. Standing until the manifestation comes in. So, anyway, we'll come back to that thought. So we stand until the manifestation comes, and we don't. Here's a good scripture, Hebrews 10:23. Let us seize and hold tightly to the confession of our hope, without wavering. For he who promised is reliable, yes, trustworthy, and faithful to his word. God, when he says something, he's going to do it. But how about you? Don't treat God like he's you or somebody you know. God always, when he says something, he sends you. So when you were waiting around, you know, and it seems like he's taking his time, he's doing something. He's doing something. So number six, we praise God before and after the request. We thank God that we can come in this privilege. We thank God that he answers prayer. You know, there's a scripture verse that always remind me of in Psalm 34 and then over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayer. God sees you. He sees everything about you. And he's listening for your prayer. And he wants to answer your prayer. And so we pray, we praise him, and we thank God. Lord, we praise you by faith that you have answered my prayer. So those are six things that you can do as far as your prayer is concerned. So next time you're bothered by that same prayer request and you just feel like, you know, you went through the list, you went through that whole thing and you got your scripture, and you feel a need to pray again. So you don't go over the same thing again. You pray for the same thing, ask God for the same thing. No, you go back to the praise. You say, Lord, I want to thank you. Yesterday, I've asked for this at 10:30 yesterday afternoon. I want to thank you that you're looking after that right now. Psalm 138, verse 8 says that God will perfect that which concerns you. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, he said, I watch over my word to perform it. I'm watching over my word that I'll perform whatever you say. Jesus said, the Bible says that Hebrews chapter 3, that Jesus is the high priest of your confession or whatever you say. He said in Mark 11:23, whatever you say, it shall be done. And that's what he said. And that's what we can rely on. We don't rely on our feelings. We just say, oh, how do I feel? Let me just feel if God answered me. Did I get any feeling on it? Honey, did you ever feel anything about that? No, I don't care how I feel. I didn't mean to scare you, honey. Sorry. No, I don't care how I feel. I don't even care if it got worse. God has answered my prayer. Everybody say, God has answered my prayer. Okay, we got a few more minutes left. So we praise him. So number four, so we pray. We have to learn how to pray. And here is the number four thing that you have to learn if you're going to grow. Number four. Yeah. Number four, here's the number four thing you have to do if you're going to believe. How many people want to hear this? We could close down because majority just spoke. There's about 10 people answered different. How many people you want to hear this one? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to solicit you to use your faith right now. That's what I'm trying to do. How many people want to hear this one? Okay. Well, that's a few, a little bit better, but anyway. If I was, you can't force people to hear something. But I know you heard a lot this morning. Right? You heard a lot. How much did you retain? That's why I have to write things down, right? Number four. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is number four. Here's the number four principle. If you want to grow up spiritually, this is what you have to learn. If you want to grow up spiritually, this is what you have to learn. What is it, Pastor? Number four is learn to believe. Learn to believe. I have to learn to believe. I got to learn to believe God. I got to learn to disbelieve the devil. I got to learn not to rely on how I feel, what I think about something. That's not what I think. It's not what you think about it. It's what did God say about it. What does He say about it? What does He think about it? So I have to rely on what God says. So I have to ask myself, what did God say about it? What does He think about it? And so we have to believe. And so believing is acting like you it's so. Acting like it's already happened. Like Abraham, our forefather, our father of faith, he acted on what God said this. He said he acted like it's so. The 10 lepers that came to Jesus, they said, "Hey, Jesus, have mercy upon us." And Jesus knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted healing. That's found in the book of Luke somewhere. You can look at it. Jesus said, "Oh, those 10 lepers, is that them?" "Yeah." Peter says, "Go see them." "No, never." No, he didn't say that. You know, but this is the way I think. This is my niche thinking. I'm always joking with Jesus. You know, I say things in my mind because I remember them. When I do these things, I remember them. Okay? You do what you have to do. If you want to be stern, you go right ahead. You know, you're acting like Clint Eastwood every time you face the devil. Come on, make my day. Okay, anyway. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? What's got it to you? Yeah. So learn to believe God's word, that prayers won't work without faith. Learn to believe God, like Mark 11:24 says, "Believe that you receive, and you shall have." When we fail to walk by faith and only by sight, we will get weaker and weaker. When believe what we see. So believing, we must be persuaded. If you're going to believe something, you got to be persuaded what the word says. And the only way to be persuaded by the word is to get that word in you. Renew your mind. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your heart. That nothing can take it out. It becomes a part of you. Romans 4:21 says, King James Version, "And being fully persuaded that what God or what He had promised, He was able also to perform." That Abraham was so convinced that if he offered his son and his son was dead, that God could raise him back to life. That's how, if you want to put it this way, crazy he was about God. Gave God. You got to go all out for God. I mean, stay within the realm of faith in the scripture. So here's number five. This is what you have to learn to do if you want to grow. Number five is to learn to worship God. The Bible says in John 4, 23 and 24, worship God in the Spirit and in truth. Truth is about the Word. Truth is about what does the Word say. The truth says that we worship God no matter how we feel. Psalm 34, 1 says, I will worship the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, I asked myself this. When I'm having a hard time, when everything's going wrong in my life, I said, I'll worship the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I'll find somebody and tell somebody how good God is to me. You know, I'll phone somebody. And that's the old dial. I'm still doing that. But you know what I'm talking about, eh? Okay. Now you go. You understand that one. But I said, sir, please call John. Right? Some of us do that. Now, Google, can you turn on the toaster? We talk to things, right? So when I'm lonely, I have my little doggy cam at home. I open my doggy cam. Hey, Sully. Hey, Sully. Hey? I said, Sully, okay, Sully, we're going to pray for mommy. He sits here, and I remember, you know, he sits beside me for like 5 years. He's sitting beside me at the stool. Nobody can sit there, not even my wife. So he sits with me. Okay, Sully, put your paw here. We're going to pray for mom. He gets a treat too, though. Right? So not that paw, the other one, okay. The other one, no. I keep teasing him. The other one. He believes. Learn to worship God. Learn to do it when things are bad. It looks like your answer's not coming in. You say, God's faithful. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I worship you, God. You are my great provider. And I find scripture. I have scripture in my heart when I say that. I know what scriptures I'm standing on. Lord, you're my great provider. I worship you. You know, you worship God for who he is. Who is God to you? Oh, he's my provider. He provides all my needs. Thank you, Lord. You supply all my needs. You're my great shepherd. I have all that I want. I worship you. You're my God. You're my supplier. Do I need any money? Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for that finances that's coming through for that. Whatever it is, you know. He said, Lord God, I want to thank you. I feel so alone, but I want to thank you that you're Jehovah Shammah. You're the ever-present God. You never will leave me or forsake me, you said. You'll always be with me. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. Thank you, Lord. You're the comforter. I worship you. When I'm feeling sick or something, sickness tries to get on me, and we're tempted to give into it, we say, Lord, I want to thank you. You're my great healer. I worship you, Lord God. You said to Israel, you're Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. Himself took my infirmities and my sickness. I worship you, God. You're my healer. Thank you. I declare healing over myself right now, over my body right now. And I don't need to ask anybody to pray for me. I pray for myself. If I need it, I will. If I really need to, and the Lord says, you go ask your wife to pray with you, and she prays with me. My wife doesn't say, honey, come pray for me, please. I say, no, you pray for yourself. You stay over there, I stay here. People think, you know, pastor says, everybody prays together all the time. You know? Okay, gather around, guys. We're going to start praying right now. We don't always act religion. We just go ahead and pray. I just make confessions. Food comes in, slap it on the table. Go. But Whatever. Sometimes I pray, one prayer fits it all for the day. Lord, I'm praying for everything. This is pre-prayed breakfast. And pre-blessed. It's all pre-blessed. So if I go to the restaurant today, Lord, it's pre-blessed. Everything I eat, you said I eat and drink, is blessed. So Christians sit with me and they eat, they watch me eat. Well, they're horrified. Ah. I said, no, it's pre-blessed. How many people know what I'm talking about? I don't know if that's religious. And say, hey, everybody, I'm praying for my breakfast over here. Some say, ah, shut up. Go ahead and eat your breakfast. Ever rude, eh? Who said, ever sick you? Anyway, God, He's a wonderful God. And we need to learn to worship Him in truth. We could teach on that. The sixth thing is learn to give. I would ask myself, Lord, which portion of this do you want me to give? The Lord says to me sometimes, all of it. I said, I didn't hear that. Come on. True, yeah. I mean, how many times you got something? Like $1,000 come in? I said, Lord, I'm praying for $2,000. And I asked, Lord, I believe I received my $2,000. And I've been confessing that for weeks. Months goes by. I'm believing God for $2,000. And $2,000 came in. And the Lord says to me, okay, give that $2,000 and put it over here. I said, no way. I believed you for a long time. Right? You've been there, right? Soon as you got it, you know, I asked God, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I'm praying to, I'm going to finish my university education. I'm going to get my BA. I'm going to get my honors. I'll get my master's. I'm going to get my PhD. And I got to my PhD level. The Lord says to me, leave it alone. I said, what? Because, you know, you can pray for anything you want, and God will stop you and check you at a certain time because He said, that's enough. That's enough now. I want you to go into the ministry. And I went into the ministry because of that, if God didn't stop me. Otherwise, I would have been a full-time professor today. 30 years gone by already. I would have been done it. But God stopped me. Aren't you glad I'm your pastor right now? I was sent to pastor you alone. We're all happy, right? We're all happy, big family here. Right? How many of you are happy? So learn to give. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give. What part of that statement don't you understand? Okay, do you need the Greek? Right? The Hebrew? You want me to break it up and break it up? G is for what? Give. I is for individuals. Okay, I could break it up for you, but I know you got it. Everybody say, I got it. Okay, give it shall be given unto you. You give and it shall be given to you. It's when you give, whatever it is, you'll get it back. Immeasurably, in multiplied fashion. Yeah. So that's what happens. That's why somebody said, you know, how did that guy give you $5,000, Pastor? Because I've been giving. When I said, I say these things not because I'm trying to show off. I'm trying to show you that something happens to you. So I said, Pastor Ken gave me $5,000 one time. Oh, no, because he's your best friend. No, he's not that good. He does it if God told him. I know him. And God used him because he's close. And so he says, Pastor, with tears. No, I'm just kidding. Here's $5,000. I was going to use that. But I didn't see that part of it. He cried for days. His eyes puffy. Shows up at my door. I'm coming to give you $5,000. It's heavy. Take it from me. It's burning. It's killing me. Get away from me. An offering. Anyway, it's funny. The guy's laughing at his own jokes. He's enjoying himself. That's what he said. You know what? I enjoyed the service this morning. The last one. Say it's the last one. Say, thank God it's the last one. But I didn't give you the meat. I'm just preaching to you, right? See what I'm talking about? Okay. The next one is this. And I know Jimmy loves this one. Is learn to be a witness. I told you, Jimmy, he approached my wife, I don't know, about 17 times on the bus when they were young to get saved. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Every time he meets Jimmy. It's way before creation started. That's my wife. I said, you need to get saved again, you know. And so my wife said, okay, Jimmy, I'll pray for you. I'll let you pray with me again. She gave his heart 17 times to Jimmy. Amen. So learn to be a witness. It doesn't mean you have to knock people in the head, bang heads together, and say, you need to be saved. Right? You don't go breaking down doors around the city, tell people, you need to be saved. You're all sinners. You're going to hell, every one of you. You're bad. Right? You don't say that to people. You're liable to get a good licking. And you should have got licked. Right? No, you go to people, you have to do a dimuj, sneak up on them. You sneak up on their side, see? And you tell them about Jesus. No, here's the thing about it, about being a witness, is that you act like you're actually sane. Yeah, because some Christians, they're like, they're crazy, absolutely crazy. Nobody wants to go near them. You're God, you're absolutely crazy. I don't want to be like you. Right? Be saved. Ah! I would spit everywhere, like there's saliva coming out. So Jesus said, go out into the world, be a witness. And the scripture says that some people are cursing God because of some Christians who don't act right. And some people are cursing God because we don't act right. Right? You know, a lot of things can help people. We shouldn't belittle human services and what human services are doing for people. And yes, it helps their soul to a certain degree. But nothing will satisfy until they meet Jesus. Amen? It's 12:03. And I've made it. This is a miracle service because I did all my points. Come on, singers, musicians, we're going to blow out of here. Hallelujah. Everybody stand if you can. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyways, my daughter's here. She's leaving at 2 o'clock back to Toronto. And you guys are going back to where? Stacy and those people beside you. I forget the young... Kapuskasing? Shania Twain country. Eh? And I forget your name. Mahegan. Wolf lady. Right? So, this wolf lady, I found out, you're my cousin, right? You're Peter's daughter, or Peter's, huh? Granddaughter, but you're still my cousin, so I'm claiming you today. But anyway, I found out, you know, one of the guys there, we were working with, you know, it's funny, yeah, I worked with this guy for all last 2 years, and we're fighting away. And then finally, you're my cousin. I love you. Amen. And so we just had a great time. Thank you for coming, showing up. Appreciate you. You know, we all have stories, but God knows your story. and he loves you. And he's going to take care of you. He said, I'll take care of you till you die, till you leave this world. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And when you die, you won't even notice you die. You'll just go, and you'll be right in the presence of God. It doesn't hurt to die. You just go into the presence of God. And the joy that you feel. And anybody who's died in Christ, they're having a great time. They don't want to come back here. My mama died and went to heaven. She came back. She said, son, I didn't want to come back here. And I've heard that story so many times of people dying in Christ. They don't want to come back here. Because even this world, I was reading Romans chapter 8, this whole world, this creation, the nature is crying out for redemption, crying out to God. The trees and the land and the water, the Bible says, is crying out to God for redemption. And our bodies too. And our First Nations people know about that. And we need to be a good witness. Bow your heads. Father, I pray for all my family members here, all my family and friends all over that are listening as well. Thank you for each heart. You know each person here. And so we prayed so many prayers this morning, but I want to confess over them that all their needs are supplied and that you have wisdom for them. There's nothing in this world that will trouble them that would be so defeating and so dark that they can't find a way out of certain situations. And I want to thank you that you're already made the situations available for them to make that great change in their lives and make that blessing come to them. No matter how it is, even when the devil says it's not worth it or it cannot be done, it can be done, for all things are possible. So I confess over them healing and health and transformation of life from glory to glory. And we cancel every trap against the enemy. We break every trap of the enemy that's against them, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And that you watch over your word to perform it. You make sure it's going to happen in their lives. So we thank you for it. We thank you that finances are coming. There's someone here that's believing God for finances. And God says to me before I came to the service at home, he said, tell that person your finances is coming. The breakthrough has already begun. Thank you, Lord. And there was somebody here that has a crisis. I don't know who you are, but the crisis has been averted. And God is working on your behalf to make it good. We want to thank you for that.